Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 8th episode of the 3 and Out podcast. I'm your host today, Moneymaker Chris, filling in for Mr. John Gruber, who couldn't be here tonight. But I got a very special guest here tonight, making his first appearance here on the 3 and Out podcast, Mr. Jay Giles. Jay, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, I'm good, man. Like I said, glad to have you on the show. You know, you're the big reason why we're doing this show, so we appreciate you, man. But glad to finally have you on this episode, man.
Thanks for having me on. I mean, you know, anytime, you know, get talk sports or whatnot, I'm always happy to jump on and talk some, especially some
football. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, man. We talk sports and stuff all the time, but we definitely love talking football. But, yeah. You ready to get into this week's show?
Cool.
But just real quick before we get started, your overall, you know, obviously, you know, me and John on here, we've talked, you know, throughout the season about a variety of different things that have been going on in the NFL. I just want to get your thoughts. How have you, I mean, we're at week 16 now, I believe. How have your overall thoughts have been so far of the NFL season? How have you thought about, like, how things have gone on and shaped up with the NFL so far to this point?
It's been somewhat surprising, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few teams that, you know, are in the position that they're in, like at the top and is favored to make long playoff runs that you like, I wasn't thinking about
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, we knew the 49ers was going to be good. But I don't think anyone thought they would be this good right now.
True. Very true.
You know, with the collection of, I mean, Kyle Shanahan as the coach and then Jimmy G in his second year with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he got hurt his first season out there with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, they've really, like, surprised people in a good way. It's almost like watching the 49ers from the early mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Definitely.
I mean, the Saints or the True. Saints, which we'll probably talk about.
Oh, yeah. Later. Oh, yeah.
Another team is kind of surprised. I think the biggest surprise of teams that's like in the playoffs would probably be the Buffalo
mm-hmm.
Bills. I don't think anybody suspected that they would be like, you know, they're right there behind New England for the AFC East. When the last time has that division been?
Exactly. Normally, you know, New England kind of pretty much runs away with that division. I mean, you got the Jets, Dolphins, and like I say, Bills. But like I said, up until this season, man, none of them teams have really been that good recently, man.
Yeah, and then, I mean, as far as like teams that's disappointing a little bit, I mean, Jacksonville regressed quite a bit.
Big time.
Yeah. The Chiefs, they had some issues, but it seemed like they, you know, kind of mended that, especially with Mahomes getting a little bit banged up.
Madden curse, man.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't completely fall off.
But still, that played a little bit of a factor.
And then, I mean, the Rams, they just, I don't know what the hell happened to them.
Full hangover, man.
I guess.
They've been a major disappointment.
But, I mean, but look at the division they're in. They're in the same division with the Seahawks.
That's very true. That's a very tough division. Very tough division.
So, yeah. I mean, and then, of course, that damn, well, your division, I should
say. Oh, Lord. Nobody deserves to win that division the way they want them.
But whoever wins that division is going to have to play either the 49ers or the Seahawks.
Yeah, and they're going to pretty much be one and done. Because I don't see either one of them, whether it's the Eagles or the Cowboys, I don't see either one of them beating either one of those teams.
Exactly. So it's like, did you really win the conference? Did you
That's
really
right.
win the division?
It's a shame, too, because that division has so much history and everything, too, with the Redskins and the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Giants and, like, multiple, like, I think, like 10, 12 Super Bowls. In that division amongst those teams, and they're going to be so poor. It's just unbelievable, man.
Well, because what Dallas has?
Dallas has
five.
We have. Redskins have
three.
Don't the Giants have?
The Giants have three.
I believe, yeah. And the Eagles have one.
Yeah. So it was 5-5-3.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm telling you. And like a lot of great players have been in that division. A lot of great coaches have been in that division over the years. And like I say, for them to be so poor, it's sad to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess, I mean, I don't know what, which one would you say is probably in worse shape? The NFC East or the AFC North? Because right now, in the AFC North, there's only one team that's really, you know, a solid team.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's honestly a toss-up, man. I mean, you can make a case for either one of those divisions. I mean, that's honestly a toss-up.
Because you take the Ravens away from the AFC North and...
What do you I got? Mean, the Browns, that division. The Steelers, the Bengals, I mean...
That's, both of those divisions are kind of like... I don't know, man.
I really don't know. But speaking of the Ravens, how have you felt about the Ravens so far this season and Lamar Jackson? I mean, you know, Don's obviously, he's a Ravens fan and everything. I'm not a Ravens fan per se, but I've always, you know, have the local area teams always, you know, have, you know, love and respect for them. But the way they're playing right now, man, it's just, they're on a whole nother level. How have you felt how the Ravens have played this year and how Lamar Jackson seemed to kind of taking that next step in his progression as a quarterback? How do you feel about that?
Well, that's another team that's a surprise in a good way because, I mean, I don't think anybody thought Lamar Jackson would be this elite. No. You know what I mean? Because he's, I mean, they've made jokes about him like on the TV shows, like he's a, you know, live action, you know, video game. Mm-hmm. And in a way, he kind of
is. He is.
And, you know, not bad for a guy that's a running back.
Yeah, they said, you know, oh, he can't play quarterback. He should play running back. He should be a wide receiver. He's not going to play quarterback in the NFL. And now look at him.
And I feel like when it comes to him, I feel like Michael Vick, Robert Griffin III, they walked so he could
run. Yes, agree.
In a way, you know.
That's a fair comparison, most definitely, man.
Because when you look at what he's doing, he's, I mean, because RG3, his career was cut short because of
injury.
So, and it doesn't hurt that he's actually Lamar's backup. So, and Lamar always talks about how Robert Griffin has helped him.
Definitely.
And everything with his, you know, in the league. So, maybe this, in a way, was what it was meant to be for Robert Griffin. He wasn't supposed to have, you know, the stellar career, but he was here to help Lamar grow.
So. Yeah, most definitely. And I'd say he can learn so much from, you know, RG3. Because they have very similar styles and everything. And also, he can learn from some of the mistakes RG3, you know, made as well. And also, like I said, if something would happen to Lamar, you could put RG3 in there. Obviously, he's not what he was at his peak. But he can still come in and still run that same style of offense that they're running over there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, because John Harbaugh is not going to put, you know, his quarterback in a bad situation like, you know, what happened
with RG3.
You know, so, and plus you have Mark Ingram as your stud running.
You do.
And then you got Mark Andrews, who's, I mean, he's done quite well for me in fantasy football. So, I mean, this is just his second year, and he's like an elite, you know, tight end.
He's really blossomed for sure, man.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a security blanket, you know, for any quarterback. Mm-hmm. Really, that's a quarterback's dream.
It is. Right? It is.
And then, you know, Marcus Hollywood Brown, he's had a
season. He's been balling, man.
You know, and then. Well, I think, what's his name? Willie Snead, isn't he?
I believe so. Yeah.
But when he was there, like, he was having some really good games. So they have a good young receiving core, and it's a bunch of young guys, really. So they all basically growing and progressing together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got that defense, which, I mean, Baltimore has always been known for its defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got Earl Thomas as your elder statesman there, but you got a lot of like younger guys that's, you know, holding that, you know, that defense down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too many of them by name or whatnot, but you know, they locked down and shut down a lot of teams.
They really have. And then Marcus Peters pickup, that was a good move for them too.
Yeah, that actually hurt. That helped them, and it kind of hurt the Rams. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is a person.
I think so too, man.
So they definitely won in that department.
Yeah, big time, man.
So, yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if come, you know, February, we're looking at them representing the AFC and Super Bowl. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me at all. And like you said, you know, the Ravens have always been known for their defense. But like I said, now they're getting kind of more known for Lamar Jackson, the way he's been playing. They're getting more known for their offense. And like I say, I always try to tell people, but don't forget, the Ravens, they still have a good, you know, defense too. And it's good coaching by John Harbaugh as well, because obviously this is not the same offense that they were running when Joe Flacco was there, obviously. Because he's, you know, he's more your traditional drop back and throw kind of quarterback. For him to be able to make that adjustment and you know, put an offense in place that fits Lamar Jackson's skill set is unbelievable. We saw a little taste of that last year, but it seems like they're picking to another level this year because he's gotten so much better from the pocket, because he can throw that ball now too. Yes, he can run, but he's shown he can make some good throws as well.
And he just flicks his wrist. That's what
flick of the wrist. He makes it look so easy, yes, man. Just a flick of the wrist, man.
Yeah. I think the way him, Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson, the way they play in the quarterback position, that is the way of the
future. It is
for the quarterback position.
It's most definitely. Because they've always said, you know, running quarterbacks, you know, they're going to end up getting hurt and everything. You know, they're not going to, you know, be successful. They got to be able to, you know, throw from the pocket, which is true. But these guys are kind of proving that case wrong. They still, you can run, but also, you know, you can have that be that, like, multiple dual threat, man. And it's like, it seems like over the last, like, several years or so, that college style option spread type offense is becoming more of a common thing in the NFL. And I think that's definitely the future. When people start, you know, drafting and looking for quarterbacks and everything, they're not going to just look for that traditional drop back, sit in the pocket, throw a quarterback. That seems like, you know, a thing of the past. They're looking for somebody that can not only, you know, throw it, but they can also make plays with their legs too.
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember too, you're not getting. How many Marty Schottenheimers and you know, people like that you have? All those guys are either really, you know, kind of getting up in age, or they already retired. Mm-hmm. So now you're getting more your Kyle Shanahan's, mm-hmm. Sean McVay's, mm-hmm. and you know, even Sean Payton to a certain degree.
Definitely.
You know, LaFleur? Matt LaFleur with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. So you getting a lot of these younger guys that probably came from a college team. Mm-hmm. And then these coordinators that you're getting probably coming from these colleges. And then they just taking what, you know, these quarterbacks did well in college,
mm-hmm.
and just applying it. I think if, and I can't believe I'm going to say this either, because I never liked him. And I'm talking about Tim Tebow. If he had a coach in the NFL like Urban Meyer, who was his Florida Gators coach,
mm-hmm.
you know, who played up his strengths, mm-hmm. and tried and hid his weaknesses or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
If he had an NFL coach like that, I think his career would have lasted a lot longer. But when you had these guys who basically tried to change up his throwing motion and, you know, change and make him do mm-hmm. this and do that,
mm-hmm.
that didn't work. And then he himself, he didn't look at Taysom Hill and with the Saints. He's become a freaking Swiss Army knife. He is the new version of Cordell Stewart.
Yes. Oh, he
plays every
yes.
freaking mm-hmm. position almost.
That's a good point, man.
But Tim Tebow didn't want to do that. I'm a quarterback. And that's all he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And look where he at, playing minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball.
So, but he's a quarterback.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I think if he had came up along now, like I said, when you see more of these, like, spread-type offenses, and like you said, if he had a coach that believed in him more, so kind of, you know, running an offense that fits his skill set, I think he'd been very successful. Like I said, that seems like it's the future right now. You look at all across the league, like I said, with Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Russell Wilson and everything. You're seeing more of this college-style offense. He would have definitely you know, fit better in today's NFL than when he was coming along.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it feels like the game has gotten more exciting. Because, you know, for a while there, it was just like, yeah, there's some good games here, but it wasn't too many light-em-up games or exciting games. Now it seems like everything is becoming exciting.
It is. Most definitely, man. Most definitely. Real quick, the MVP race. Do you think Lamar Jackson's pretty much locked it up, or do you see anybody else taking it for him?
Lamar Jackson is the NFL MVP. If he is not, then I mean it's a popularity contest, really.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, because if I know for a while there, for like I'll say like last month, it was, oh, it's Russell Wilson, it's Russell. And Russell, yes, he's been playing good, but Russell can't do what Lamar Jackson does.
No, he can't.
He can't do that. Yeah, he can be evasive, and he can, you know, stretch plays and do this and that and the other. But he can't do what Lamar is doing.
No.
And it seems like the Ravens offense and defense, which is a rare thing, everybody seems to want to play well, do their best for him.
Mm-hmm. They do. They love him, man. That's especially Mike Ingram. He's like his own personal hype man.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, when Mark Ingram was with the Saints, he wasn't like this.
He wasn't. No.
He was not like, and then now he goes, I'm like, that's Mark
Ingram. Where did this come from?
Yeah. But it just seems like everybody wants him to do well. Mm-hmm. And that is a rarity that you get.
It is. Oh,
so, for that reason alone, because of what he's done for this team, this organization, because, you know, they've gone through a transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the Ray Lewis era.
Yeah.
You know, where it was defense first, and then the offense is just,
okay, right. True.
But then that kind of shifted a little bit when Flacco gets there, and it came more of like a balanced thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Flacco kind of just fizzled out, basically. We saw him fall off that quarterback cliff.
He did. He got that big, he won that Super Bowl, got that big contract, and he wasn't the same after that.
Yeah, look at him in Denver now.
Oh,
Jesus,
my.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, my. I figured he would, you know, play a little better when he's been horrible over there, man. I would have never thought he would have been that bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, but like I said, and then you go from the Flacco era into now Lamar Jackson era. Mm-hmm. And this team that's around, I think this, from a totality of this organization, I think this might be the best version of their team. And that's saying a lot.
That's saying a lot. They've had some very good teams over here. Especially that 2000 team with that really good, you know, defense where they played the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but like I said, that was a defensive team.
Mm-hmm. They had no offense. They were weak, but they were just kicking field goals. They weren't even scoring touchdowns, man.
Exactly. I mean, look. If and plus they got the best kicker in the league right now, Justin Tucker,
man. It's automatic. Automatic Tuck.
Another person that's done very well for me in fantasy.
See, there you go, man.
So, but you know, you got Mr. Automatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he would have had a field day if he was on that team like back in the, you know, early mid 2000s.
Oh, man, when he was taking for sure, man, for sure, big time, man, definitely.
But now the team is like, well, we know the defense is really good, but his offense is going to kill us too.
Exactly. So, like I said, it's like basically pick your poison, basically. Not only do they have a strong defense, their offense is just as good, if not more well-known than what the defense is right now.
Yeah, so.
Who would have thought you would have said that with Baltimore?
Exactly. I mean, Trent Dilfer,
really, yeah. Kyle Bowler, you know.
Oh, gosh.
The list of quarterbacks they've had over the years, man.
Yeah, they even had Cordell Stewart for a hot second.
Yeah, he was over there for a little bit. Yeah, man.
Yeah, so they've gone through some what? Your best quarterbacks has been your last two quarterbacks, really?
Pretty much.
That's been your
and
franchise?
Steve McNair was over there for a little bit toward the end of his career. He was over there.
But he wasn't Steve.
He was not the Saints. No. He wasn't the same Steve McNair from the Tennessee days.
He was literally. I called Jason Witten shoestrings and bubblegum. Steve McNair was literally shoestrings and bubblegum.
He was held.
And for anyone who don't know what that means, that means you're literally being held up by shoestrings and bubblegum.
Exactly.
You literally being held together.
Right.
You know, that's what it was. And he was a shell of himself at that point.
Yeah, he was not the same quarterback, man. He was definitely not. Okay, let's see. Week 15. Did you get to watch any of the games or anything from last week?
I did.
Anything stand out to you?
Well, the two games with the that the Cowboys played against the Rams and the Eagles. Who the Eagles? I forgot who the Eagles played.
Played my Redskins.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry. those two games were interesting because of the fact that it was like, okay, I kind of had this feeling. I was like, okay, so since the Eagles played the Redskins first, and it was like, well, okay, since the Eagles win this game, I'm like, okay, I knew Dallas was going to win against the Rams because they kept saying Week 16 is going to determine who is going to win the division and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yep, that's what I didn't think the Rams was going to just completely forget how to play freaking football against the Cowboys. But at the same time, I knew Dallas was going to win that game because it has to come down to Week 16.
Uh-huh, that's the big headline, Week 16. Yeah. Who's taking the division, this piss-poor division, man?
Who's going to get that number 4 slot so they can lose to the number 5 seed?
Basically.
That's what that is. And, we did basically get to see Eli Manning's final home game with the Giants because he's not going to be there next year.
No, he's not.
Do you think he's going to retire?
He might because I don't see anybody picking him up, even for like a backup role or anything. I don't see anybody we got to get Eli Manning, get him on our team. But I think it's probably the best thing for him to do is probably just hang him up. He's had a good career with the Giants. He spent his whole career there. He won 2 Super Bowl rings, beating the Patriots not once but twice. I just retire. Hang him up.
You have nothing else to prove.
Exactly. What do you have to prove? What do you have to prove?
So like I said, those games, and then of course we got to see the Raiders have their final game in the Coliseum.
But they lost the Jaguars, which is 20-16.
A lot of the fans was not happy.
Yeah, they were booing.
They was not booing the team. They was basically booing at the fact that this is it.
Yeah, that's true. That's it. No more, Raiders in Oakland.
Yeah, they're going to freaking... So they're going to be what? The Las Vegas Raiders?
Like, I guess so. The Las Vegas Raiders, man.
But, I felt like it was stupid to move the Raiders because, do you really need two teams in L.A.?
No.
No.
You don't.
You don't. Because you take the Chargers from San Diego, you put them in the same stadium with the Rams, and everything. You could have sent the Chargers to freaking Las Vegas.
You could have. Yeah, kept the Raiders in Oakland, sent them to Vegas.
Yeah, so then you would have still had three teams relatively spread out. You would have had one in Oakland, one in San Fran, and one in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But instead you got two in L.A., and one in San Francisco, and you're going to take the Oakland team away because they already know what it feels like to lose them to. But then again, they just went across that bridge,
pretty much,
to LA. Mm-hmm. Now you move them, to a whole nother state.
Right.
So I don't know what the hell. And I don't know how long that's going to last either. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders don't come back to Oakland. So don't be surprised if that happens. because this happened before. Look at the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the LA Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They moved from LA to St. Louis and they went back.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny, man. We covered that on Ballers, man, with Spencer, that thing with the whole Raiders in Vegas deal, man. And we covered that, man.
That's
right. That was a fun season to cover.
It was. I mean, it was a good show.
Yeah, man. Enjoy covering that, man. Definitely, man.
Yeah. So it's been some interesting things. We kind of seeing a shift because. I know one thing that they're not really talking about too much. I don't know if he was going to bring this up, but this actually might be Tom Brady's last season.
It could very well be because his contract is up after this season. He still wants to play. And if I was him, I just don't want him to retire. Like I say, he's another one. What else does he have to prove? Why would he want to?
Well, he does have one thing. Actually, him and Belichick have.
Yeah, Belichick wants to prove that he can, you know, coach and win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady, and Brady wants to show that, hey, I can, you know, win something without Belichick coaching.
But the thing is, where would Brady go? Where would he go?
That's a good question. Where?
Because all the teams that have, you know, good, you know, records and everything like that. They're set at quarterback.
They set at quarterback. So there's not a lot of options out there for him to, you know, say, hey, you know, this team, you know, could use Brady's services for like a season or two. But I don't know. That's a very good question.
So, and he would not get the same protection as what he gets.
No. It would be very interesting to see him on a whole nother team. It really would. Because like I said, right now in New England, they have no weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They have nothing. And Brady's, one of the things about Brady, he's always done more with less, but he's got nothing to work with over there, man. Nothing.
Well, is it so much that he has nothing to work with, or is it that he's declining and they're trying to hide the fact that he's really declining?
I think a little bit of both. I think he doesn't have the top receivers. He doesn't have Gronk. Antonio Brown's not there anymore. And
one game, basically.
I think it's that. And also, like I said, he's a lot older now. He's not the same quarterback he was. I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah. Because, I mean, their defense is the reason.
That's the main reason they've been, you know, they have the record that they have. Because their defense, if it weren't for their defense, they'd really be struggling. They wouldn't even be a playoff team, I don't think.
Speaking of, even though I do not like the Patriots, but that defense is number one ranked in the NFL right now. And they have been very good for
me. Once again, you have it all on fuck, man, with fantasy football, man.
Hey, look, when it comes to fantasy football, I don't care. You know, my hatred for certain teams kind of goes away because I play the wheel.
Hey, I understand that. You know, you put your personal feelings aside, and you know, certain players, certain teams, and everything. You play to win. You're all in.
Because there was one year that Tom Brady was my quarterback.
Oh, I've had Tom Brady. So, I've had him.
He was, and he actually led me to a fantasy football championship.
See, there you go, man.
Yeah. But there was nowhere in hell he would be on my team.
Oh no.
And that's proved that. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, like I say, they're not really talking about that. But because I mean, for some reason, we down here, there's three teams that is a guaranteed watch for me. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. That would be the Dolphins, mm-hmm. which I don't care.
Don't worry about that, Dolphins.
Right. The other team would be the New England Patriots for whatever reason that is, and the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the three guaranteed teams that for some reason here that I'm forced to watch.
You don't have no choice in the matter.
Yeah, I don't have no choice. It's almost like y'all really trying to force me to get this damn NFL red zone package mm-hmm. or whatever. That's what it feels like. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. I should not have to sit here and watch some sorry ass.
I don't blame you, man.
I'm like, yeah, it's funny to watch them lose and watch them just kind of fumble around and stuff. But then it got to a point, it's like, oh, I'm tired of watching this. I'm tired of seeing them just lose. I don't blame you,
man. That's about the old show Jacksonville and Tampa Bay down there.
Well, here's the thing. Years ago, they used to show Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They used to, but then all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, well, Dolphin-centric. It was like, I don't care about the freaking Dolphins.
I don't blame you, because Tampa Bay, they've had some good teams over the years, and Jacksonville, too. But like I say, the Dolphins have been awful for a long time.
Like I tell everybody, the Dolphins haven't been good since number 13 retired.
Exactly. Once he left, they have not been the same.
And that's why they've never had a stable quarterback
mm-hmm.
since he retired.
No, they just had, you know, they're ring of quarterbacks as well. You know, got Fitzmagic down there now. They got Josh, they picked up Josh Allen. That hasn't worked out. They had, what's the guy's name? Brock Osweiler. He was over there. Josh Rosen. Yeah. Rosen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Allen.
Allen, he's been playing good, but Josh Rosen. That hasn't worked out.
So it's going to be interesting. Like, okay, who are they going to. Are they going to draft a quarterback? Are they going to try to get freaking Joe Burrow and ruin him?
Yeah. I guess?
Either way, I mean, if Cincinnati get the number one pick, they're going to ruin him.
All the Dolphins and them get him. They're going to ruin him too. So it's like, you know, either way he goes, he's not going to have too much success, I don't think.
Yeah, he's screwed.
He's screwed either way. Yeah, they're one of those organizations that see him, you know, going and having success and, like, you know, changing the culture there, so to speak.
I don't see it either, Greg.
But let's see. Let me talk a little bit about the Cleveland Browns. A lot of people had. I know. A lot of people at the beginning of the season, you know, they said, "Oh, you know, Baker Mayfield, and they got, you know, OBJ. Oh, these guys are going to the Super Bowl." Now I thought they would be a playoff team. I thought they could at least be a playoff team. Yeah. But Super Bowl, I said, that's pushing it. To me, they've been up there with one of the more disappointing teams in the league. How do you feel that's what's, you know, gone on in Cleveland this year?
Helmet gate aside.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. So, and I think we've had a conversation about Baker Mayfield. I can't remember that. The whole thing about what I said about Baker Mayfield is nothing but a bigger version of Johnny Manziel. And what I mean by that is that he comes with this, he's very braggadocious, you know, and everything like that. But at the end of the day, that other stuff outweighs his actual talent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the league basically, you know, they figure, well, he wasn't too much to figure out to begin with, but he is really a small fish in a big pond.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cleveland Browns was definitely the wrong place for him to do this, you know, to be or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if he was in a different team with a better coaching staff, he probably would have maybe a Carson Wentz or Jared Goff type career going for him
mm-hmm.
instead of what he got going for him now. And I remember, you know, last year it was all Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson
can't coach. You know, he's not a good coach. He's not the right coach for Mayfield. So they fire Hugh at 2-5-1 and everything. And now you get Freddie Kitchens, who I was surprised to find out he was a white guy because that name sounds like a black guy.
That doesn't sound like a white guy's name.
Yeah, so I'm like, Freddie Kitchens. Then when you see him, like,
that's Freddie Kitchens. I wouldn't expect that.
Right? But so you like, okay, you got Jarvis Landry, who's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
You have Odell. We know the type of talent Odell is. Also, I think, Callaway still there? AJ Callaway?
I believe so. I want to say yes.
Okay. So, I mean, so for the most part, he has a decent receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
Then, on top of that, you already had Nick Chubb. then you get gifted Kareem Hunt.
Yes.
Who still should be with Kansas.
Agree. He should. Agree.
But we know why.
We know, yeah. We do.
But you get gifted Kareem Hunt. So basically you got two stud wide receivers and two stud running backs.
Yes.
Not too many teams can say
that. No, not too many. So,
and the defense is not that bad.
It's really not. No, they have a pretty, you know, decent defense over there.
Yeah, the defense is not.
And drafted well over there, yeah.
Yeah, just sometimes they forget how to play.
True.
But it happens.
It happens, yeah, but they got some talent on there on that side of the ball, for sure.
So, you have all this now. So, who and what exactly is the problem now?
Exactly.
I think the problem is that guy that lines up behind center. So,
I think so, and I must admit, I was defending him for a little while. I said, you know, I was defending some of his antics and everything, but you clearly see as the season go on, he's definitely, you know, part of the problem over there. It's not all his fault, but he's, you know, I got to definitely put some blame on him.
This is not Oklahoma.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And like I said, as arrogant and cocky as he is, you know, I mean, you can't beat it only in your second year in the league and playing as poorly as he has this year. I mean, they're 6-8 right now. 6-8.
Exactly. But somehow they were still relatively in the hunt for the playoffs.
They were. Very true. The way things were shaping up, they were still in the hunt for the playoffs.
But it's like, you take Mayfield off of it. You send Tom Brady to the Cleveland Browns with Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. I'm pretty sure he does something.
I think so. Now that team might go to the Super Bowl. he would definitely do something.
You send Cam Newton there with those four guys. I'm pretty sure Cam do something with that team too.
Oh yeah, because Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, you put a lot of quarterbacks over there. Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly, because I mean some of these quarterbacks, I mean, outside of Mahomes, but the rest of these guys who are your top quarterbacks, also take away Drew Brees.
Uh-huh.
The rest of these top quarterbacks, they don't have those type of talented
the weapons around them. They really don't. All together, they may have a good back or they may have a good receiver. They don't have all of those guys.
Yeah, so like I said, like you said, you put Aaron Rodgers.
Oh man, what?
you might as well close up shop and everything because that team is going.
Yeah, give them the Super Bowl trophy.
Exactly. And he isn't the type of player. And then of course you know all the rumors that's coming out of there. First it was Odell, he wants to leave. Then you actually have on tape Jarvis Landry telling the team that they're playing against, hey, y'all need to get me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Like, both of these dudes want to get the hell out of there because, you only start saying stuff like that when it's the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
When the quarterback is the problem, that's when you
start. Oh, for sure, man. When you have an issue with the quarterback, that's when you start hearing stuff like that.
And I'm pretty sure Jarvis is, like, he probably double pissed because everyone knows he's the reason why Odell even came.
Exactly, because they, you know, connection from, you know, their college days playing together.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and I'm pretty sure Hugh Jackson is somewhere, you know, smiling.
He's getting a kick out of this stuff. Because, you know, Baker was on him hard, man. He had a disdain for him.
Yeah, and now look at
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
It ain't Hugh Jackson.
It's not. Now I know he's a defensive guy. Now I know he took over as an intern. Do you think Greg Williams would have got more out of this team if he was there? If they gave him the head coaching job or no?
Greg Williams is not a head coach. He is not.
Yeah, he's best as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean he's on the same level as Rob Wright. He's on that level. He's best suited as a coordinator. Now, Rex, you know, he could, you know, toe the line of being a coach and a defensive coordinator. But Rob, you know, was strictly coordinator. And that's what Greg Greg Williams. Greg Williams is strictly coordinator.
Yeah, he was our defensive coordinator for a while. They thought he was going to be the head coach for a little while, but they didn't, you know, go in that direction. And actually, Ryan, he's over there. I think he's the defensive backs coach. He's just got some role on our defensive now.
Some people
are better, you know, as coordinators. Like, take a, what's his name? North Turner. He was a better offensive coordinator than he was ever a head coach. That's true. That's another one. Some people are just better in that coordinator role. What's the guy, the defensive coordinator over the Rams? Same thing with him. Wade Phillips.
Wade. Well, you remember Wade Phillips was the problem.
Cowboys, yeah. And you see what's going on with them.
So yeah, good old Wade. It was all.
Wade Phillips fault. Oh, it's all Wade Phillips. Another thing I wanted to get into, Josh Gordon. Unfortunately, he took another indefinite suspension, man. They announced it this Monday. And like I said, since 2013, he's had like multiple suspensions and everything, been, you know, out of the league, in and out of the league, back and forth. It's just getting sad with him, man. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, the man's got so much talent, so much potential, but he just can't seem to get it together, man. And it's just to the point that it's just sad now, man. Very sad.
It is, but I think he's officially done.
I think so.
He's done now. Yeah. He's done. And it's sad, but it's like you have a gift, and instead of using that gift, you basically squander it away for whatever reason. And I mean, he's not the first one that's happened with, but I think he's the first one on that type of a talent level to squander.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, you know, elite type of players who have had problems.
Oh yeah, not just football too, all across sports.
Yeah. Yeah, across sports, but they find a way to, if they do have a problem, they find a way to overcome it and still go on to have that great career or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But for whatever reason, he just couldn't get it together, and it's sad because even when he was with the Cleveland Browns, he was one of the top five best receivers.
He was. He had a really breakout season there in Cleveland, too.
Yeah, and when you look at guys like Julio Jones and Michael Thomas, and he was up there
with them. Oh, he was.
He was on the same talent level as them. So, it is. And when I saw that, it's like, damn it, man. And it's like, but at the same time, I was like, this is it. This was your last chance and you blew it.
Big time, man. Yeah, that one season Cleveland in 2013, he had 87 catches, 1,646 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
And who was his quarterback that year?
Who knows, man. Was it Brandon Weeden or one of those guys? One of them carousel of quarterbacks they've had over there. I don't remember who it was. The revolving door quarterbacks over there, but yeah.
But that tells you, whoever, you know, mediocre quarterback he had, and he has a stellar
season. And that's his best season to date, right there. 87 catches for, wow. That's unbelievable. And the season before that, his rookie season, he had 50 catches for 5 touchdowns and 805 yards. So, it's just sad, man.
See? Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe there'll be a ESPN 30 for 30 about
it. I'm sure it will be. That's a 30 for 30 in the making, man. 30 for 30 in the making. Anything else before I get into this week's list of games? Anything else you want to discuss, or football-wise?
I don't know if was you planning on discussing about Drew Brees, you know, record, you know, breaking moment, or you know.
Oh yeah, we can discuss that, man. I mean, it seems like that's a common thing for him. You know, when he plays on Monday Night Football, he's breaking all these touchdown records and everything, man. But it's just unbelievable because if you think back to him, like when he was in San Diego, And to see what he's, you know, going to New Orleans, what he's done over there, winning the Super Bowl and breaking all these records and everything, it's just unbelievable. Because, like I said, they didn't think he could play over there. I mean, but...
Not bad for a guy whose career was supposed to be done after he had...
Shoulder surgery. Yeah, they thought that was it for him. That was absolutely it. Now he's gone over there and he broke, you know, the touchdown record of Peyton Manning, you know, all-time, you know, touchdown pass record. How you feel about that? Or Drew Brees overall?
I've been a fan of his since the New Orleans days. Since he's been in New Orleans, uh-huh. In San Diego, he didn't. I honestly don't even really remember.
I don't either, man. I know he was there, but I don't remember him like actually like playing or everything like that. I don't.
Right. So yeah, it's like his. I think San Diego. Well, then again, you gotta keep because some of those touchdowns did come.
They really did. Yeah.
So. But if you could kind of erase the San Diego period and just say it all happened in New Orleans, nobody would bat an eye and say he wouldn't. But he just, it's just something about him. He just seems like a genuinely like a good dude. And you even if you're not a fan of his or you know a fan of the team to him, but you respect him. I think he has that universal respect, mm-hmm. similar to like Peyton.
Yeah.
People, you know, everybody respected Peyton. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever heard anybody say anything bad about Peyton,
no.
You know, or whatnot. And I feel like Drew is on that same type of class level where he's unanimously respected by everybody. And just how he
carries. Yeah, it does. He's a classy guy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's great that he's done this. But when I was, because I actually watched the game
mm-hmm.
because I did. I wanted to see it, you know, what mm-hmm. happened. Mm-hmm. So. And also too, I have him and Alvin Kamara.
Why am I playing on your fantasy team when it's so bad? I'm all for it, but I love it, man.
So I'm just
okay.
But,
you're four.
But so I was watching the game, and when he tied the record, and then when he eventually broke the mm-hmm. record, I got to thinking. You remember he missed 8 games this
season. That's right, because with the thumb, it was a thumb injury, right? Thumb injury.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, he would have broke this record.
A while ago. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
During mm-hmm. the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this sneaky suspicion that maybe his thumb wasn't as hurt as it's from. Because who's number 3 on the list? And soon to be number 2?
Oh, Mr. Brady.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, because I feel like if Tom retires after this season, Drew should play one more season just to kind of, you know, further that gap between him and Brady mm-hmm. with the touchdown mm-hmm. all the time. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. Now, do you think he gets the credit that he deserves? I mean, he came up in an era where, you know, you had Peyton Manning, you had Brady, you had Aaron Rodgers, there was like a lot of these other, you know, top-notch quarterbacks. Do you think he gets the credit that he deserves, Breeze?
I feel like he's Dan Marino, just that the only difference is that he has...
That's the Super Bowl ring, right.
Yeah, but I feel like he is this era's Dan Marino, where... You know, Dan Marino, as good as he was always behind Steve Young, Troy mm-hmm. Aikman, and to some degree behind, even somewhat behind Jim Kelly. To some, even though Jim Kelly was not the talent overall mm-hmm. that he was, but, oh, and also, too, I don't know how I forgot about him, but John
Elway, too, yeah.
Yeah, he Dan Marino always kind of seemed to kind of be a little bit behind uh-huh. him, and then Brett Favre kind of surpassed
him. True. To some degree. He did.
So, yeah. So, I feel like Drew is the Dan Marino of this era.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, he just went to Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. Yeah. And he hasn't been kidnapped and you know, held hostage and had to get rescued.
By Ace Ventura.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That is very, very true.
Hey, that could be the storyline for Ace Ventura 3.
Hey, they decided to do it. Yeah, hey, there you go, man. There you go. That's the storyline right there for you, if they're listening out there. Oh, man. Anything anything else before we get into the games for this week?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. All right, so obviously no Thursday night football this week, but we got three games on Saturday. We got Houston versus Tampa Bay, Buffalo, New England, and the Rams and 49ers. Any predictions for those games?
Well, I think, I feel like they're going to be some good games. I'm only going to get see two out of three because I have to work.
Yeah, I got to work Saturday too, so.
Yeah, so I'll see two out of the three. Well, I'll probably watch only one of them. I try not to watch New England too much.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
But I do feel like that's going to be an interesting game, especially with the fact that with Buffalo beating the Steelers on Sunday, you know, they earned that playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in the playoffs officially. Mm-hmm. So that should be an interesting game. I think 49ers and Rams should be a good game, but I hope that the 49ers like kind of let people know exactly who they are with this game, and just I don't think they're gonna completely destroy the 49ers because it is a divisional matchup, and you know division teams they always play a little bit harder against each other. But I feel like the 49ers. Because I still have this feeling that the 49ers will get the number one seed.
I think so, too.
And everything. And so I feel like this is going to be somewhat of a statement game and will determine what type of a run the 49ers will go on in the playoffs. And then the other game, because that's actually the first game.
Yeah.
What was the first game?
The first game is 1 o'clock. We got Texans, Buccaneers, and then it's, like I say, Bills, Patriots, and like I said, late game with Rams.
Jameis Winston is gonna be freaking Mr. Turnover Machine, so that's not because you know he just has to try to fling it in there no matter what, and I think the Texans gonna win. So it should be a good game, but I think the Texans is gonna take it. I think all three games are going to be good, but the one that I think will really be the most interesting of the three, I think, will be 49ers Rams.
Agreed. Let's see. Other games we got on tap, got the Steelers Jets. We got the Saints and the Titans. That should be the Titans have actually played better than I thought they would this year. Once they put in Ryan Tannehill, so that should be an interesting game. Panthers, Colts, Bengals, Dolphins, the battle for who gets the top draft pick. Ravens, Browns. The Browns like one of the only teams that beat them this year too, so that's gonna be interesting. Jaguars, Falcons, Lions, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, Giants and Skins, another one battling for the top draft pick. Two good primetime games. Sunday night, you got the Bears and Chiefs and the Packers Vikings on Monday night. And, of course, the big Cowboys-Eagles game to determine who, you know, wins the piss-poor NFC. Any thoughts on any of those games? Any predictions or anything?
Well, I mean, Packers-Vikings, that's going to be a good
game. Oh, yeah. Monday night. That should be good.
I mean, both teams are in the playoffs, but you know, it's still going to be a hard-fought battle.
True.
Chiefs and the Bears, I think there's going to be a lot closer than people, you know, might think. Because you know, the Bears, that's an interesting team. Because some weeks, you know, the Bears they seem like they're just a mediocre team, but then there's other weeks it seems like this team could actually be something because they're surprising.
Yeah, look how they played Dallas that Thursday night. Look at Mr. Trubisky out there. He was out there looking like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, like I said, you never really know what you're
they're unpredictable
with. Yeah, and if you sleep on them, that's when they
exactly.
get
you. Exactly. They're like that kind of sneaky team.
Yeah. And I mean Seahawks Cardinals. I mean we know Seahawks is going to beat
them. Oh yeah. Oh, we know this already.
Does anybody really care about Raiders and Chargers?
I don't think so. Even fans of teams probably don't even care.
Yeah, I mean, same kind of goes with Lions and in the
yeah, exactly.
And I know you're gonna cheer on the good old Redskins against the
Giants. Yeah, like I said, see how you know Dwayne Haskins, you know, he played well last week. Terry McLaurin, man, that dude is special, man. I really like him. Scary Terry, yeah. I like him.
Yeah, so I mean they got something. They got the beginnings of
it. They got some pieces. If they can get a good head coach in there and get a good general manager in there, they got some pieces to work on both sides of the ball. So they got some pieces they can work with. So
now, I mean, the Cleveland Browns and the old Cleveland.
Yeah, you're right. That's very true. Right? That is true.
And I mean, the old Cleveland Browns is going to beat the hell out of the
Oh, we already know this. Oh, for sure. Well, especially after they beat them earlier in the season. They're definitely looking for payback, so.
I mean, I kind of hope that we get a blackout with Bengals and Dolphins.
Yeah.
They black that game out. Or just flex to a more
competitive, game. That's right. Like I say, battling for that, you know, that top draft pick, so. These are some pretty decent games for week 16.
Yeah, so it's some really good games, and there's some games
like pretty much like every week. You got games like, oh man, these are good, and another game like, hey, you know, why they should let these two teams play each other?
So I can already tell you which games I'm going to see. Of course, everybody's going to see all the Saturdays.
Right.
Everybody, but I already knew what games I'm going to see on Sunday, which is Dolphins and Bengals, and I normally see Cowboys Eagles because that's gonna be on.
Yeah, we always get the Cowboys games here too. Cause we get the Redskins games, we get the Ravens games always. They on like CBS. So.
I'm pretty sure that other game on CBS, since the Bills and the Patriots play on Saturday, probably gonna see. Let's see, because Dolphins Bengals.
That's a 1 o'clock game. Yeah.
4 o'clock is probably here gonna be. It's probably gonna be the Seahawks and the Cardinals.
Okay.
You might get that.
Uh-huh. You got Dallas Eagles too. That's 4:20. That's 4:25.
Yeah, but that, like I said, that one's gonna be on.
That's on Fox.
I know that's. I know that's gonna be on.
True. Fox. Right. That's true.
I'm already picking it. I already know.
No, right.
So because of that, I might end up going to the movies and watch Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker, and then just come back for the
film. Oh, there you go, man. Cool. Anything else NFL related you want to discuss? I think we covered the main stuff. I think.
Yeah, we really did. That's pretty much.
Cool. Yeah, that's the.
Oh no! Well, no, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
In regards to your guy, one angry man himself, Mr. Adrian Peterson, who I believe isn't he marching up the list on something? I forgot what it was, but they made a
I think the touchdown list or the yardage list. Yeah, he's been slowly, you know, creeping up the list, man. I'm telling you. That man, it's unbelievable. What he's still running hard. He hit a move on Sunday where he went one way and he like cut back the other way. I'm like, man, this man still got some gas left in the tank, man. It's unbelievable watching him play, man. That was a great pickup for us. Old man Peterson still got it, man.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I'm about to get me a Peterson jersey. I might have to get me a Peterson jersey. But yeah, man. Like I said, I hope the young backs, like you know, Geist and other young backs on the team, are you know, taking notes from this guy, man. I mean, because he's something special.
Yeah, they should. They definitely.
Yeah, man. Listen, you need Darius Geist just to stay healthy, man. He shows some flashes, man. But he gotta stay healthy, man. Them knees and legs and stuff, man. He's gotta stay healthy, man. But we got AP, man. So we'll see. Cool. That's all I got for tonight. Thank you, Jay, for coming on, filling in for John, man. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, man. Like I say, it's fun doing this show, man. It's been very fun, man. But anything you want to plug before we get up out of here?
yeah. I mean, for anyone who listens, you only listen to this show, you don't listen to the other shows on the network, of course, do movie talk, talk movies and everything like that. And I'm actually, well, that episode for Movie Talk 143, where I'll be reviewing the original Black Christmas that came out in 1974, will be uploaded, will be up before this episode. So, it basically where I'm reviewing for the 45th anniversary of the film, and I'm joined by fellow network podcasters Christian and Chantel from the Profrodo podcast, and everything, because it was the first time they ever seen it, so I kind of want to hear what they had to say about it and everything. Mm-hmm. So that episode will be up before this episode.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Guys, as far as I'm concerned, you can follow me on Twitter at Moneymaker Chris, as well as Instagram, DC Sports Fan 23. Follow this show's Twitter page at 3 and Out Podcast 1 on the Twitter. Check out my writing on medium.com, so that's at Broken Moneymaker, as well as check out my Facebook group page for my writing, The Cash In. Talk all things sports, wrestling, pop culture related, also football and friends. I'll have my picks out for the week. I do weekly football picks, talk all things football related. Check out my products I have for sale. To promote my blog, storefrontier.com, so that's writer315, as well as teesprings.com/store/moneymakerchris. Got some mugs, phone cases, and stuff up on there. Still got my 30% going off. Use the promo code CASHIN. 30% off on there up till Christmas Eve. And that is it for me. Jay, any last words before we get up out of here?
Well, thank you again, Chris, for having me on. Have fun, as always. You know, and everything. Sorry, I sound a little bit tired.
Hey, trust me, man. I understand. I feel you, man. I feel you on that one. It's okay.
but yeah, I mean, it's always good talking football and everything, and I do look forward to quite a few of these games, and I just hope that my fantasy team pulls it out in the end so I can win this this trophy, even though it's just for fun and it doesn't mean anything.
It's all that. Yeah, win is a win. Hey, it's all in good fun, man. But just one other last thing, just real quick. Overall, how do you feel like me and, you know, John have done with the show? You know, we're 8 episodes in. You know, how you felt about how we've done with this podcast at this point?
I've enjoyed it. I feel like you guys have done a really good job, and I feel like you guys have a really good dynamic together, and just look forward to, you know, next season as well, as the show, you know, come along again and see, you know, just continue to grow it, and you know, that's mm-hmm. what it's all about. It's really growing it and everything. And even though I know that is the first time John hosting a podcast and everything, and you know, in the beginning he seemed, you know, really nervous mm-hmm. and whatnot, but he found his groove, and you know, he's doing a good
job. Yeah, and I'm proud of him, man. Like I said, he told me, oh, man, I'm nervous. I never hosted a podcast before. I told him, man, you'll be fine, man. I said, just reach out to me or Jay. You know, we'll give you some pointers, man. We're here for you, man. He's done a phenomenal job, man. I just let him do his thing. I follow his lead. I've been so proud of him, man. He's done a great job with the show, man. It's been fun.
Exactly. So, like I say, it's fun here. Like I say, you and I, we've had fun with the baseball show. Mm-hmm. And plus, I just get a kick out of, like, just, you know, just sitting back, just listening to other stuff that's a part of
it. Yeah, man, the network has grown so much other than just, you know, TV and movies, man. It's got sports shows and stuff on here now, man. It's awesome, man. It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, I'm still working on this.
Yeah! So, I'm telling you, man, you cover all ground. Sports, movies, TVs, relationships, everything here on the TV Zone podcast and network, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. You got a good thing going here, man.
Yeah, we try, and let's say we're trying to. If more people want to do something, I'm open to it, and you know, the more the merrier, and everything. So,
yeah,
let's say I've just been.
Yeah, most definitely, man. But my just last words, man. Thank you for joining me, Jay, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. If we're not back on here again, everybody have a happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you. Okay. Peace out.
Peace.